Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our Old Testament reading from Malachi chapter 3. And our focus is going to be this morning on verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, thank you for gathering your people to hear the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that your Holy Spirit works through this word so that our faith in Jesus is strengthened all the more and that faith overflows in love to all people. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we are continuing our Advent Christmas series called Promises of a King. These are all the Old Testament promises where the king makes a promise to us, but at the same time, he is the one that is going to fulfill it on our behalf. And I'll tell you what, there's one thing, one promise that comes around every year that is guaranteed. Your calendar is packed, right? You're busy, aren't you? Okay, it's Christmas time, right? Yay! Wow, I have no time to even breathe here, you know? Wow, you've got so much packed into your calendar, and a lot of it's good, you know? Just there's concerts going on, there's activities going on, you know, just things to do. You got a lot to do, right? You got to go shopping, you got to cook, you got to clean, you got to prepare a lot of things. Oh yeah, there's lots to prepare. Maybe you're preparing for company coming at Christmas, got to get things ready. Or maybe you're just preparing for Christmas, that time when, okay, I've got a big dinner, we got gifts and all this other stuff. It's a lot. We are busy. But in the midst of this busy time of year, it is so easy to forget the fact the Lord is actually coming. He is. He is coming, and he will judge the living and the dead. The Lord is coming to save the righteous and to punish the wicked. Now, for God's people back in Malachi's time, this was supposed to be a good thing. Now, we remember that Malachi is the last of the Old Testament prophets. That means that he conducted his ministry after God's people had returned from exile, after they had rebuilt the temple and they had restarted the sacrificial system to maintain their relationship with God. But the thing is that God's people, they were grumbling. They were grumbling against God. They were looking around and like, you know, these are not exactly the glory days that you promised, Lord. You know, we are still under foreign rule. We are still oppressed by our rulers and their wicked ways. And so they are asking God, hey, what's up? Where is the God of justice? Where are these glory days that you promised us? When are you going to finally come down and fix everything here for good? So here in our text, the Lord promises that he is coming. And he promises, I will send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. He's going to get everyone ready for his coming. And then the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming. And he is going to come and he is going to judge all the sin, all the wickedness, and get rid of it. But there's the next verse. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? Oh, the Lord's coming, and he will judge. But he's going to start that judgment with his own people and their leaders. He is going to judge all of them who had become sorcerers, adulterers, those who swore falsely, those who oppressed the hired worker, the widow and the fatherless, those who thrust aside the sojourner, the foreigner in their midst. In fact, all of them who do not fear me. He's going to judge them all. So the Lord was going to come just as he promised. But what should have been a day of joy was going to turn into a day of fiery judgment. Were they prepared? Could they endure? Could they stand before him? One of the most popular songs, for better or for worse, depending upon your viewpoint, one of the most popular songs during Christmas is Santa Claus is Coming to Town, right? Oh yeah, that's catchy. That's a catchy song, right? And it's supposed to be a really cheery song. You know, Santa Claus is coming. I'm doing a really bad job up here, you know, trying to get you guys going. But it is. You remember that scene in Elf at the end of the movie when this is the song that was the Christmas spirit that got Santa's sleigh to finally take off and escape the bad guys. Yeah, it's supposed to be just really happy, fun Christmas song until you actually look at the lyrics. Has anyone actually like slowed down and read the lyrics here? Whoa. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh yeah, he's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. Huh. Sounds like a horror movie villain, you know? Are you exactly looking forward to Santa Claus coming to town when you look at those lyrics? The Lord is coming to town. In fact, he's coming right to you. And are you prepared for that? Well, I guess it depends upon how you view the Lord. And do you view the Lord like this song? Better watch out, better not cry, better not pout. He's making a list. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Is that how you and I view the Lord? In other words, do you believe the promise that you have to prepare yourself for his coming by being more good and less bad, being more nice and less naughty? Lord's coming to town. Oh, I better get ready here, right? And so we kind of launch ourselves into these kind of activities, and they're not that bad. You know, we're going to do more Bible reading. We're going to do more prayer journaling. We're going to just pray a lot. We're going to come to more worship services. We're going to attend more Bible studies and small groups and all kinds of spiritual building activities. Oh, yeah, and don't forget about the good works. We're going to be more loving. We're going to be more caring. We're going to serve people. We're just going to go on and on. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with these things. I encourage you to just dive in. But what tends to happen is that when we do these things, we tend to think that just doing these things is what God is looking for. In other words, we downplay our sinfulness and elevate our goodness, and therefore we'll be prepared. But as I always like to point out to our youth confirmation class, anytime we come to the ninth and tenth commandments, I always like to say, you know what? You guys have been doing pretty good, right? You haven't murdered anyone. You haven't committed adultery, right? Maybe you've stole something, but, you know, not that bad. Maybe you've lied, and, you know, I know you've lied, but, you know, it's okay, you know, right? But then you get to the ninth and tenth commandment, and what's it all about? It's all about here, your inner desires. And I ask them, can you control them? Can you actually make them good? And then I point out how Jesus talks on the Sermon on the Mount about, well, you may not be a murderer, but if you even get angry at someone, you are liable to the judgment of hell. You may not be an adulterer, but you even look with lust at someone, you've already committed adultery. You see, God looks on the heart. And no matter how good we look on the outside in all of these wonderful activities, he still sees our sinful hearts that have been running away from God since the Garden of Eden, sinful hearts that stain every single good work, that make even our most righteous deeds filthy rags before him. So how can we truly believe that promise that we can prepare ourselves for his coming by just being good for goodness sake? Funny thing about that phrase, for goodness sake, it actually is kind of a sugar-coated phrase of what it really means. For God's sake. Be good for God's sake. Now, I know it sounds like an exasperation, you know. Oh, just be good for God's sake. But actually, it can mean something else. You will be good for God's sake. Most everyone agrees that this messenger that Malachi predicts, it was fulfilled as John the Baptist, right? We heard about John the Baptist in our gospel reading, and he came to prepare the way of the Lord, but boy, when he came, he was all about this fiery judgment that the Lord was going to, he was like, you brood of vipers, and you, here comes the wrath of God to come, and he's coming, and it's going to be like he's got his winnowing fork, and there's chaff burning, and just, but then, when Jesus actually shows up, there's a whole lot of unmet expectations. John is thrown into prison for this. And Jesus is out there just, you know, having a good old time. And he actually asked Jesus, so are you the one who's going to bring all this fiery judgment, or should I look for somebody else? And Jesus responds by saying, John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised. And good news is preached to the poor, because the Lord has come into his temple, not that building in Jerusalem, but in the temple of flesh and blood, as that baby in Bethlehem. And that baby in Bethlehem has come to purify his people. Not with this fiery judgment, but by destroying this temple and in 3 days raising it up again. And it is at the cross that the Lord's temple is destroyed. And in doing so, he purifies us of our sin by becoming sin for us, taking all the fiery judgment of God's wrath upon himself, and then rising from the dead to give us his pure righteousness, his holiness, to make us good for goodness sake, for God's sake in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord is coming. He has promised he's coming. But with that promise comes another promise. I will prepare you for my coming, and I will prepare you by already coming, by already being born, by already dying for your sin, already rising from the dead to make you pure of sin. And that's why we have to believe, I hope you believe, I pray you believe, that the Lord, the King, is always preparing you for his coming, even now. He is preparing you by purifying your sin through his word, through his sacraments. You have been baptized, and the Lord has come into his temple. Your flesh and blood is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And when I say to you, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when Pastor Mark says that, when anyone says that to you, look what's going on. The Lord is burning away your sin right there so that you can stand righteous before God. And when we take the Lord's Supper, it's more than just eating and drinking. The Lord is actually blotting out every single sin through his body and his blood. But the Lord is preparing you for his coming by sending messengers. You and me and God's people sent to every single one of God's people with these words. Return to the Lord. Don't go back to your self-righteousness. Don't go back to thinking that you can prepare yourself. Return to him. Return to his righteousness. Return to his forgiveness. See, we can do this, brothers and sisters in Christ, even during this busy, busy season of the year. Even when there is lots and lots to prepare. But I pray that you are prepared for the Lord's coming. I pray that you believe the promise that he prepares you. And I pray that you believe that he has already prepared you by being born, by dying, by rising, and that you return to this good news every single day of your life. Amen.